The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. The Blue Cat. It's where it's at.
5:24. Mark and Paul checking in. Thursday game day. And today we had planned on blowing out several pairs of tickets to John Party for the concert Saturday. But that concert has now been postponed. Due to illness, been postponed, not canceled. Hang on to your tickets. And those tickets will be honored when they figure out a new date. And as soon as they get that figured out, kind of depends on when he gets better. He was supposed to play in Nampa, Idaho tonight, Missoula tomorrow, and then here Saturday. And then he doesn't have any more shows scheduled for a couple weeks after that. So, crying out loud, scrolling down his schedule, he is playing a lot of concerts this year into next. And normally they try to route, so he'll make up the Missoula show and he'll make up this show, and Nampa is what, 7-8 hours away. So have to make some new plans for Saturday night if you were going to go to the John Party concert. I thought this was interesting. Had more gunplay in Billings yesterday. 700 block of North 17th Street activated the SWAT team. Approximately 10:05 a.m. officers with the Billings Police Department responded to a weapons complaint. Officers were unable to make contact with anyone listed at the residence, forced their way in, and found a 31-year-old deceased male victim and a 1-year-old male infant. Infant was transported to the local hospital but was later pronounced deceased. Officers located the suspect vehicle. Team made contact with individuals inside the residence and were able to remove 10 individuals from the suspect residence. Tactical teams then moved to a second residence that was possibly involved in the incident. Once this residence was cleared, both residences' detained individuals were turned over to the investigation division. No charges filed officially at the time this was posted yesterday. And it was interesting to see in the comments on Facebook, a lot of people taking shots at that $143 million trails and rec center levy. Mm-hmm. Why would we vote for that when we need more help with the police department? A couple people slinging accusations back and forth. Talk to everybody that voted no on any of the safety levies. And then there's this one. I see the cops need to just release the killer's name and let him loose for the people to take care of it at this point.
Yeah, that's it's the trend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trend now. And this is interesting because this is what we talked about earlier in the week. Police were familiar with the home and have responded there many times.
Right.
It's a flop house. People come and go there all the time. Once again, no jail space.
No, exactly.
$143 million for hockey rinks, a tunnel under the rims, a big rec center for the people on the south side, basketball courts, swimming pools, and there's no room at the jail.
Right.
These people, the cops are all familiar with these people.
Yeah, they know who the bad guys are.
Yeah, once again, they have responded there many times. Many times, folks. Can't put them away. No room at the inn. Sorry. No room at the inn. Mm. Yeah, that's too bad. It's the 8th homicide this year. There were 17 last year.
See that Troy Downing is going to run for another office. Going to go after the seat held by Matt Rosendale. Because the speculated Rosendale is going to move on.
Hmm. Move on or run for Senate?
Run for Senate.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense that he would do that.
And that's that line of work. Yeah. You know, a lot of these guys work their way up from one government job to another government job.
And when you're a representative, you got to run every other year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be a pain in the ass.
Okay, so let me get this straight. I'm going to run for this office, and then I got to fly to Washington, D.C. a couple hundred times a year.
I'm going to work 1 year, and then the following January, I got to start campaigning again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be rough. I like Downing. He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Watched what happened on 9/11, and got into the Air Force. Made it by 1 year. He almost aged out.
Wow.
Got in there anyway, and it's a good dude. Currently our state auditor in charge of insurance and things like that for the state. So
well, became a real estate developer and started his own storage rental business. I don't know if we have room for any more storage places in Billings, and I don't know how many there are, but there's a ton of them.
Nobody throws anything out.
No.
They save it all. It's going to be worth something someday. All those stuffed Beanie Babies that I got up in my tool shed.
Teenage Mutant Ninja cards.
Save it all. Save it all. He's got 1 year to put his campaign in place and get rolling. We've already got ads running for certain things now already, so it's going to be a big political fight this year.
Mm-hmm.
Big one.
Well, and you have entities outside of our state that have the money to throw at it.
I'm thinking about getting into the Senate race and running against John Tester, only for one reason, so I could debate him.
I don't think he'd show.
That's the only reason. I don't even want to win. In fact, I'd tell everybody, do not vote for me. I got too many things going at the farm. I don't have time for any of that. There's too many critters out there that need to be.
Right.
I just have too much. But I want to get on the stage with Tayron John.
I'd love to see that. And a lot of people that vote like we vote would love to see that too.
Just let me on stage with him.
You know, you sound a little bit like John Dutton, because you know John Dutton ran for governor on Yellowstone.
Did he?
If you want progress, do not vote for me. I am the opposite of progress. I'll be son of a gun. He won.
Well, maybe John Dutton sounds more like me. I've been around before John Dutton was.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen your show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Oh, man.
And they couldn't find him at the Capitol one day. They needed him for some meetings, but he was back at the ranch branding.
Well, there you go.
See, I said, I know a guy like that.
That's right. Make me mad, take him to the train station. Right. You're just another critter. Yeah, just another critter. There you go. It's the only way you ever get to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't ever step foot in our radio stations up here.
No.
And Aaron Flint down the hall gets a lot of the political figures, but
yeah, he won't come up. And that may be one of the reasons why Aaron doesn't get them, is because they know they got to walk by our studio to get to Aaron.
Whatever it is.
And that's all right. It's all right. I just stay home, just sit out there, play my little guitar, write my little songs. That'd be a good job to have, really. Selling insurance. Because it's a law that everyone has to have it. Wouldn't it be great to own a business where it's a law that everybody has to buy your product?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty nice. Sure, there's a lot of competition, but they got to have it, or mm-hmm. supposed to have it.
Hey, if there wasn't $1 billion in it, you wouldn't see the kind of money poured into advertising like Progressive does.
Oh, yeah. State Farm, all of them, Allstate, you name it.
Yep.
Liberty. And it's competitive. And Troy Downey, he's in charge of our insurance business in the state. I know in my approximately 40 years of farming and ranching and things like that, I have spent about $560,000 on insurance.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have it.
Got to have it. Yeah. Crop insurance, automobile insurance, you know, ranch insurance, liability insurance. If somebody, I got to carry, folks, $2 million of liability because of the size of my farm, which I know a lot of you think I have 3 acres, a goat, and a couple ducks, and a chicken house in the backyard. Okay, it's a little different operation than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to carry that liability in case somebody trespasses in the middle of the night and they're trying to steal some of my farm equipment or the batteries out of my tractor, and they run through the yard and they hit a fence post that's sticking up and they get an injury in their leg,
mm-hmm.
and then they sue me because it's not properly lit or something like that.
And that's just what it's come to.
Yeah. Somebody gets hurt while trying to rob you or something. You better have liability because they'll come after you. They'll come after you. Hell, you want an example? Let me give you an example. I saw this today. Let's see if I printed this up here. I know I did. Wait till you hear this.
Well,
here you go.
Okay.
A jury in Illinois. Well, you see all the ads on TV. If you've been hurt, you're a victim.
If you drank the water at Camp Lejeune,
you're a victim.
I saw one the other night. If you worked at an airport and have contracted cancer due to firefighting foam.
Yep. And I kind of get those because they didn't know.
Right.
Those people were not warned of the dangers.
Right.
But here's the ones I like. You get Howdy Doody and Doody Howdy standing up there. Hey, you've been dissed. We can go after whoever it is. And we'll do it for free. And you only pay if you win. Who's not going to pick up on that deal?
Exactly. Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose at all. A jury in Illinois has ordered ConAgra to pay $7.1 million to a woman who was injured when a can of cooking spray ignited in a commercial kitchen and set her on fire. The company has to pay $7.1. She had second-degree burns on her face and her arms and hands. When suddenly, without warning, a can of highly pressurized oil that she was spraying in a pan on a stove, a commercial kitchen, a stove with open gas flames on it, ignited the oil and burned her. Working in a social kitchen club when suddenly, without warning, it caused a fireball and burned her. Without warning. There's no spray that will come out of that can, Mark, unless you push the freaking button down.
I'm right with you. I don't understand why she won. It makes no sense.
Because she got a jury in Chicago for one.
Yeah.
And those people have all been dissed. We've been there. It doesn't matter what. That was a done deal the minute they walked into that courtroom. ConAgra. That's why, you know, they make Marie Callender's... All Mark's jalapeno pepper pot pie.
Oh, those are good.
Ready Whip, Swiss Miss, Chef Boyardee, Slim Jim, stuff like that. They're all involved in that. Company disagreed with the jury's verdict. They stand by their cooking spray, safe and effective when used correctly as instructed on the freaking can of Pam.
Yeah.
Do not spray into an open flame or near flames. It says it right there on the can. There are 50 cases now against ConAgra for defective cans or other people who have been burned. That just sent a message to everybody in America.
Yes, it did.
Spray some Pam on an open flame and burn yourself, and you get $7.1 million. The lawyer said that these cans, manufactured between 2011 and 19, they used a venting system with a lower threshold than previous versions. When the can gets too hot, the vents on the bottom open to release pressure, discharging its flammable contents into the air. When the can gets too hot, and I'm sure right there on the can it says, place the can as close to the flames of the stove as you possibly can. No. You wonder why you see all those instructions, folks, on every product you buy. Have you ever noticed that? If you look at something for the directions, you want to cook some freaking spaghetti. And you're looking for how long do I boil it and how much water. They're right. You have to find the right instruction because there's 8 paragraphs next to it about what not to do, what's in it, member FDIC, all that kind of stuff right next to it. In a commercial kitchen, normal for people to leave their cooking spray cans when they're using them close to the stove. Some even put them on the shelves right above the stove. Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. and the flame and the heat rises,
right,
and gets the can hot. The can gets too hot, it pressurizes, it explodes. That'll happen with anything, folks. Spray paint, put a can of spray paint there and see what happens too. These things are highly pressurized, volatile stuff. You got to be careful when you use that. No smoking in a gas station. Does everybody get it?
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook. The Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
ConAgra said Pam and other cooking sprays have clear warning labels on the front and the back, telling them the product is flammable. Do not leave on or near a stove or heat source. It's right on the can. But yet, see, the jury, it's not whether it's right or wrong or guilty or not guilty. It's whoever has 12 men and women sitting there and has the best attorney.
It is. You're exactly right.
And the attorneys pick the jurors. I got thrown out of a case down here. I'd have been a great juror. So there you go. It says right on the can, cooking sprays should not be stored above 100 degrees or even sprayed near an open flame. It's right there, but it doesn't matter because those people in Chicago saw a big company come in and said, we're going to help the little guy here. Mm-hmm. We're going to stick it to you.
There's no reason that
there's no reason why they should have had to pay. None. All the warnings were she's a cook in a commercial kitchen, for goodness sakes. She should know.
Yeah.
Folks, you ever drive to work early in the morning and you see all the guys from Town Pump and Conoco and all their tanker trucks? You see them all delivering that fuel and filling up all the gas tanks at all the gas stations around town? You know what they're not doing while they're looking down the hole? Smoking a cigar. You know why, Mark?
Because it's dangerous?
Because they know. Same with cooks. The cooks know. They know about grease fire. They know all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter. Awarded her 7.1. So, you folks paid her. You paid it. You paid the UAW raises this week. You paid that. You pay for all of it. You pay. Every single budget or new program that's voted in Congress, you pay.
That's right.
Every pay raise, you pay. Every $100 billion to the Ukraine, you pay. Every debt, you pay. Every single thing Congress does, you pay. Mm-hmm. You folks pay it all. You pay it all. You're going to pay for recreation.
As we discussed at length yesterday, got your new tax statements. Even if you didn't improve anything, you're going to pay more.
You pay.
You pay. Look down that list of things on your property taxes that you pay for.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. You pay.
Remember that day I brought that in, I read all those things. It took us 20 minutes to go over all that stuff. Mm-hmm. On every single one you get, you pay. Folks, and this lawsuit, guess what? You just paid. You just paid. Even with all the warnings, even with everything that all the attorneys, even the Consumer Product Safety Division, OSHA, everything. How come that's not an OSHA violation? How come the business wasn't sued if she had her cooking spray too close to the stove?
Great question.
Yeah, damn good question. The business wasn't sued. Nope, ConAgra was. Misuse of product. Misuse of product. That's why I have $2 million worth of insurance, Mark, because if somebody comes out and they take the battery acid out of my batteries in my tractor and they go down behind my house and they park and they cook it in a spoon for drugs and it hurts them, I can get in trouble.
Yeah. The following is a public service announcement for Must Haven Farms.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You can steal from us, but we're not calling the cops.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're busy.
Yeah, they are. Oh, God, this week.
Yeah, they're so busy. And we know there's no room at the jail, but we got room underground. So there's plenty of room underground, Mark.
That's right.
The coyotes are really hungry. And you know what the first thing they eat is on a mail? The part that we're going to leave hanging out. That's right. Call it a little redneckish if you want, folks.
A little tiny bit.
But that's... Yeah, maybe I am a little bit like John Dutton or whatever his name is.
I got news. People are, and like the comments to the shooting yesterday, people around here are fed up.
They are.
And
it's going to happen.
It is. Somebody's going to retaliate, or somebody, some punk, is going to take a shot at the wrong person.
Or break into somebody's home.
Yep.
Or try to steal their car, or try to take them down while they're walking across a parking lot, and they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's right.
You know, you can only poke the bear so much.
Dadgum gum it.
Here you go. Here's another one. Here's a man who led law enforcement on a two-county armed carjacking spree. Carjacking, firearms, violent crime spree began with an armed carjacking in Yellowstone County, ended in Cascade County. He got 11 years. Santana Cruz Lado pleaded guilty in May, terrorized two communities during his armed carjacking rampage, causing schools and residents to shelter in place, stole a car at gunpoint. Sheriff said it's a miracle nobody was killed. The way he was driving puts law enforcement in danger as well. He accosted a woman as she tried to get out of her car in the hospital parking lot here in Billings, pointing a gun at her and demanded keys and pepper sprayed her in the face. Found the car a few days later in Musselshell County. They found him in Great Falls. He was driving around in a white truck that he stole. And got into a fight at a motel he was staying at, fired a pistol into the air, and fled that scene. It's going to happen, folks. Going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter turned out the second weekend of the big game season was below average. 440 hunters visited check stations in the region on the second weekend. Elk were the most abundantly harvested species. Mule deer harvest is well below the long-term average. Check stations in Lovina was the busiest. They got them in Billings, Lovina, Big Timber. But they operate on Sundays only, so that's good to know. So if you're gonna poach an animal or anything, do it on Saturday, all right? Screw around on Saturday. They will operate on Saturday, November 25th and Sunday, November 26th, though, on the closing weekend. So that's good to let everybody know that. All hunters have to stop regardless of success or not. 51 inmates at Montana State Prison have been without heat since Friday. As temperatures plummeted, it malfunctioned. Repairs have been delayed. Maintenance tried to fix the part. Couldn't do it. They gave them extra blankets, some space heaters, that kind of thing. Well, don't go to prison. You're lucky I'm not warden.
Yeah.
Like John Dutton.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be a good place. But they were without heat for a while. Any of you folks without heat? I bet you were. Usually that happens. First time of the year, everybody puts a big push on their furnace. Here's a man who was arrested for assaulting two Walmart employees down in Casper. Arrested on the scene, man attempted to walk out of the store with some electronics. He allegedly elbowed an elderly female employee in the head and proceeded to punch another female. Oh, you're a badass, isn't
Boy.
He? Yeah, he goes after the females. Officials responded within a few minutes and found two good Samaritans restraining the man.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. He was severely agitated, showing signs of substance abuse. Casper police thanked the quick-thinking citizens who exercised their liberty in detaining a violent offender until law enforcement arrived. Well, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You're going to see more and more and more of that. People walking out of stores with, you know, they're oppressed. They can't eat. So they walk out with a flat screen TV or a new set of gym shoes because they're hungry. My ass. They need a fix is what they need. So. And Bobby Knight died yesterday.
Saw that.
Now, for a lot of you folks out there, see, the Bobby Knight death affected me more than the Matthew Perry death.
Oh, of course.
Because he was my era, and I was involved in basketball a lot, and I wasn't a fan of Friends anyway. But it's funny reading what people have to say about him, because when he was alive, they hated him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now they give him accolades for all of his accomplishments. Among one of the winningest coaches, 902 victories, Army, Indiana, Texas Tech. He won three championships at Indiana, including 1976. That was the year they went undefeated.
That's right.
Never lost a game that year. I ran into Bobby Knight in 1976. And Jake was texting me last night. We had a couple All-Americans at our high school. Two.
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook, the Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
I was only a sophomore at the time, and Pat Tabler and Mark Connaughton. Mark Connaughton blew out his knee sled riding down the big hill.
Oh.
And lost his full ride scholarship to Notre Dame that year, which our basketball coach was kind of like Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out that on prior to Thanksgiving weekend that his All-American 6'8 center blew his knee out sled riding, because girls made him do it.
Mm.
Mark, you've been there.
Guilty.
You know what we do. We're stupid.
She's pretty and I'm dumb.
So anyway, Bobby Knight in 1976, he wins a national championship. It's around April, middle of April, end of April, after he had just won the championship. And I'm in my social studies class with our head basketball coach at the time. He taught social studies, and I was only a sophomore, so I wasn't even near the varsity level. But, you know, the coach knew us, and I think Ho and Dopp were in there at the same time. And he's in there teaching. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're in the middle of social studies class. And Bobby Knight walks in the classroom. Just walks right in the classroom. Shakes the hand of the coach and said, I know you're busy, coach, but I'm here, so whenever you get time, you know. And said something to us, I can't remember, something about studying, keep your nose in your books or something, you know. It's more important, because he was there to recruit Pat Tabler and wanted him to play. He went on to play baseball. He was drafted by the Yankees. But anyway, it was just amazing to see him there. Couple years later, I went. My sister was in Indiana. I went to Assembly Hall there. Got to shoot baskets down in the gym, stuff like that. But he did it his way. He was nicknamed the General. Threw a chair across the court, made him famous.
Yeah, that's the thing that got played the most last night.
Critics always fumed about his conduct, but he took pride in his players. And the one thing that he took pride in, Bobby Knight, that a lot of people don't know this, it was one of the most important things to him, and that was his players' high graduation rate during a rule-breaking era for basketball.
No kidding.
They broke every rule. Those basketball players, they never finished. Bobby Knight's players finished. They graduated. And Bobby Knight, unlike a lot of other coaches, Bill Self, all these other guys, he never, ever in his 42 years, ever was even accused of an NCAA violation.
Isn't that something? And was still successful.
Mm-hmm. No pay for play, no picking them up in jets and taking them to Miami or Hollywood or something. Not none of that. Not one ever NCAA violation. A lot of people don't know this about Bobby Knight either, because they hated him so much. But when Bobby Knight was at Indiana, he was king in the 70s and early 80s. He insisted, folks, how many coaches do you know that do this? He insisted that his base salary, not exceed that of the other professors at the university.
Unheard of.
People don't know that about Bobby Knight.
Mm-mm.
He knew. Look, and a lot of his disciplinarian background came the fact that he was a West Point guy, coached at Army, discipline, structure.
Right.
You break them down, and then you build them up into what you want them to become. Bobby Knight expected his players not only to exceed his expectations on the court, but in the classroom. And he abided by all of the NCAA rules, even when he disagreed with them. And he vowed that he would take his old school discipline principles with him to the ground. You saw this with a lot of his players. You know, it was kind of like folks being a, maybe this is a bad analogy, but it was kind of like being a Navy SEAL or being a Green Beret or an Army Ranger. Only a few can cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few can take that kind of demanding, rigorous discipline. And some can't, some do. The ones that did were very successful. The ones that couldn't, they complained about it. He's too hard on us. He's abusive. That kind of stuff. I don't know any Navy SEAL that has ever said, well, they were pretty abusive, and I just felt bad and blah. No, they knew what it was going in.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I'll give you a for instance. Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas always complained about Bobby Knight. He was abusive, hard on him, all that. But Isaiah Thomas became one of the best guards ever to play in the NBA.
True.
Bobby Knight made him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Toughness. You know, then he went and he played for the Bad Boys of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The toughness thing came out.
And basketball was a different game at that time.
It was.
There was no touch fouls in those days.
He changed the way basketball was, the way you compete and the way you win, according to Steve Alford. Alford was on his last championship team in 1987. He said he changed college basketball. He said the way you look at motion offense, and he did that, and people everywhere used it. He was a hard-to-please motivator, and he clung to his iron principles. He retired in 2008. He left with four national championships because he won one when he was at Ohio State. He played at Ohio State, and he won one, so he was part of four. You know, he was Mike Krzyzewski's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Krzyzewski was one of his assistants.
I seem to recall you telling me many years ago that Bobby Knight didn't like his teams playing on weeknights.
Didn't. School thing.
Right.
Hated it. Hated the late night games for television when they'd start at 9:30, quarter to 10. A lot of the coaches out there right now, Keith Smart, Randy Whitman, Mike Woodson, all among the coaches that were under Knight. Mike Krzyzewski said, we lost one of the greatest coaches in history. One of a kind. He recruited me, he coached me, he mentored me, and had a profound impact on my career and my life. Born in Massillon, Ohio. Mother was a school teacher. His father worked on the railroad. His mom understood her son's temperament. One night, Indiana was set to play Kentucky on television, and two of Knight's high school classmates ran into her at a grocery store and asked if she was excited about the game. And, his mom said, I just hope he behaves. He was on the team at Ohio State that had Jerry Lucas and John Havlicek on there. They were also future Hall of Famers. He did 1 year as a high school assistant. He joined the staff at West Point in 1965, and they gave him the head coaching position at age 24.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He restored Hoosier basketball tradition with his man-to-man defense. That's where our coach got it. God, I hated that. In his first five seasons at Indiana, he went 125-20 and won four Big Ten Conference championships in the first five seasons.
Man.
Undefeated team, we mentioned that. He always told people, you'll never see another team like you did in 1976. He beat Dean Smith's team for a second one, North Carolina, in 1981. He didn't want to play the game because President Ronald Reagan was shot and wounded earlier in the day. And Bobby Knight thought that would be the wrong thing to do. But they made him play the game anyway. He consistently beat some of the game's most revered names, Adolph Rupp, Dean Smith, John Wooden, Rick Pitino, Roy Williams. He won the Olympics in 1984, always dressed in his red sweaters, proudly bared the school colors. He was accused of headbutting a player one time, smacking his own son, Pat, during a timeout. They didn't like that. In 1980, during a news conference, some a-hole was giving him crap at a news conference, so he fired a blank from a starter pistol at the reporter. 1985, they were playing Purdue. One guy was about to attempt a free throw on a rotten call, so Knight picked up the red plastic chair. He was trying to get the attention of the ref, and the ref wouldn't even look at him. So he picked up the chair and threw it across the floor so the ref would finally pay attention to him. Knight apologized the next day. He got a one-game suspension, and then he was put on probation for 2 years by the Big Ten. And from that point on, the officials at Indiana then, they chained together all the chairs on the benches. Isn't that great? These are great stories.
Yes, they are.
Yep. Yep. Chain the chairs on the bench. So that's not going to happen again. That black and white photo of the incident remains a classic for Hoosier fans around the country. Digger Phelps, who coached at Notre Dame, always respected Bobby Knight. And for years after the chair incident, Digger Phelps said, look, he was just merely attempting to toss a chair to a woman who was looking for a seat. That's the kind of guy Bobby Knight was. And then, of course, in 97, when a player was dinking around at practice and he went up and they said that he allegedly put his hands around the neck of this player. And that's when the president of Indiana said, yeah, that's it. You're done. And oh my gosh, the people in Indiana went crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bobby Knight went to the protest and told the people to go home. The students went out, tore down the goalpost at the football stadiums, burning effigies of the school leader outside. And he went out and told them, go home. This isn't what we do at Indiana University.
That says something.
Mm-hmm. Then he went to Texas Tech. Had 5 20-plus seasons there, broke Dean Smith's record. He refused, even skipped his induction into Indiana School Hall of Fame in 2009, and bought a house in Bloomington, Indiana. That's where Indiana University is. Bought a house there, lived there then the rest of his life. Ice finally broke in 2020, just a couple years ago, when he made his first public appearance at Assembly Hall. And a lot of his former players were there, Quinn Buckner and others. And when he moved back here, a lot of people said they knew he was in a good place. He just loved Indiana. Indiana was in his blood. He loved Bloomington. And avid golfer. Loved to read about history. Donated generously to the school libraries at both Indiana and Texas Tech. You don't hear a lot of this kind of stuff, see?
Of course not.
Loved to hunt and fish. Made a lot of appearances out here in Montana. Used to come to Montana all the time. Hunt and fish. Loved to shoot doves. Made a cameo appearance in the movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler. Then he joined ESPN. Was a color commentator there. The network parted with him in 2015. That was about the time ESPN started going rogue and started going politically correct. He campaigned for Donald Trump. Then he kept a low profile after returning to the campus in Bloomington and got ill and didn't last long. Died amongst his family in Bloomington yesterday. Guy was 83 years old. So quite a story for Bobby Knight.
No kidding.
That would make a good book. This is just touching on some of the stuff that that people didn't know about him. But and he will never get credit for the good things. You know, isn't that the truth about all people, though?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm as guilty as the next one. We all seem to remember the bad things and never remember the good things, you know? So just like Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton was actually a pretty good president, even though he was a Democrat. We all remember what he did with Monica Lewinsky and things like that. That guy signed a balanced budget deal, folks, with Newt Gingrich. Balance our budget. You know, it's funny. And I'm as guilty as the next person. We sometimes forget about the good things and just dwell on the bad things. Mm-hmm. So,
no, you're right, 100%.
Yeah, Bobby Knight was a good example of that.
Okay, folks, we'll get to first news. That is coming up, 6:19.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Events Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.